Over the years, as I've had the opportunity to introduce different individuals from this pulpit, I've noticed that each, like myself, develop our kind of way we prepare our sermons. Some will come up here with a little index card with notes. Other will have pages all kind of written out loose. And this isn't the first time that I've had the opportunity to introduce our brother Dwayne. And I've noticed that he usually has a little three-ring binder here that his notes are in there. As I look down here, I see that, you know, each time it gets a little bit worn. It's showing the use. I'm saying that's a good thing. I mean, it's something, it's being used. And I've seen that in his ministry also, as he's stood up here over the years and he's brought experiences and things he's encountered in some of his training, his workplace and stuff, that he's always diligently looking for something that he can present. It's always in use, just like this notebook here. It's always being used, and when the notes from this one we put away, it'll be open for something else to fill its place. So I know that he's diligent in his desire to present the word of the Lord this night. And I'd ask that you too, that our souls would be, you know, like this notebook, open and showing the signs of use and ready to be filled with something new this night. So I give to you our brother, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Glenn. He is correct about my notebook. I think this is my original notebook. You can see it's starting to wear. I don't know what I'll do when it wears out. This evening I would like to start in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. This is a very familiar scripture to each one of us. This is the parable of the sower. And most of us have probably read this scripture, or we know it's in several different places. We know it's in Matthew, and we know it's in Mark. We've probably read this scripture many times. But this time when I was reading it, there was something that caught my eye. We'll talk about that. Starting there at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him, of every city he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, and seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. That was the parable. Now here's the explanation of what this means. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And we know that this seed is being sown, don't we? We know that it's being sown in the world today. Verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So we see that some hear, don't they? And but then the devil comes in and deceives them and leads them away. Then on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, for which a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. So we see these others that fall away. They're not grounded, are they? They don't have that foundation. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. How common this is, isn't it? People, when they hear, and they go forth for a season, but then these cares of the world and the riches of the world, especially in this nation, it says, and they bring no fruit to perfection. They fall away, don't they? And now, verse 15. But on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. These are the righteous, aren't they? These are the ones that are grounded in the gospel. They are not led away by the temptations of Satan. But look what it says here. Which in an honest and good heart. That's what I want to talk about this evening. Honest in heart. We must be honest in heart. It says here, honest and good heart. It must come from within. We have to be grounded deep inside of us. Be honest in heart. And say, it says, having heard the word, they've heard the word of God, and they keep it. They follow after that word and bring forth fruit with patience. That's what we're to do, isn't it, in this life? Those that want to have salvation, that is what is required of them. You know, I looked up the word honest. It had quite a few definitions. Honest is honorable in principles, intentions, and actions. It's upright, fair, sincere, and genuine. Respectable, having a good reputation. Truthful, humble. All of those are good qualities, aren't they? That make up this honest person. These are the things that we're to have in our heart. And in the dictionary, it had the synonyms. It had four of them in there. It had just, incorruptible, trustworthy, and fair. And then it had one more synonym, and it was pure. But next to that word pure, it said archaic. So I looked up in the front of the dictionary to see what that meant. What was the dictionary trying to say by saying that that word pure is archaic? To be honest used to mean pure. That's kind of another step up, isn't it, from these other words that I've said. And archaic, according to the Unabridged Dictionary, is entries or definitions now archaic were current roughly to 1900, but now are employed only as conscious archaisms. No longer applies, according to the dictionary. Up until 1900, one of the synonyms for honest was pure. Now that doesn't apply. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Kind of the way the world is. The world's changing, isn't it? We know things that our forefathers believed in and trusted in doesn't apply to society now, does it? Oh, they're still true and they're still right. but society does not follow after them. You know, honesty with my grandfather, you know, I can assure you that if they had some business deal, if they were going to sell something, if my grandfather was going to sell his tractor for $100 and his neighbor came over and said, I'll give you $100 for that tractor, and they shook on that, that was a contract, wasn't it? That was a pure transaction. They were both honest in heart. They were going to honor that no matter what. But today, you could have the best contract in the world and somebody would break it, wouldn't they? That word honest still means pure. Even though the world may not accept it today, but these are the virtues that we're to have, which in an honest and good heart, that's the way our heart is to be. If we want to follow after our Lord and Savior and spend eternity with Him, let's turn back a couple chapters to Luke chapter 6, verse 45. This verse talks a little bit about the heart. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And we know that the heart, you know, when it talks about this in Scripture, you know, it's not talking about this organ in our body that keeps us all alive. I think I read one place that there's the word heart is mentioned like 900 times in the Bible. But there's very few times that it actually means this physical heart. It's referring to what's inside of us, isn't it? What we stand for, what we're all about. Who we are. You know, the heart's in the center of our body, isn't it? Kind of to the core of us. You know, here it's talking about who we are. And it's talking about, there's two different people here, aren't there? A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. So we see someone that has that good, honest heart. He brings forth those things which are good. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. That's where these things come from. From within inside of us. We know that that man is, you know, either follows after our Lord and Savior or he's tempted by Satan. But those things come from within us on who we choose to follow, because we do have a choice. Each one of us has a choice who we will follow. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's the natural man, isn't it? The natural man. We know that the natural man is an enemy to God. So by nature, we know that man's desires are opposed to those things of God. But we must overcome those things. We can't use those things for an excuse. You know, the Lord has given us these things. He's given us the Scriptures. He's told us this. We know this says this in many places. Some similar Scriptures. But we can't use that as an excuse to say that the heart is deceitful above all things. That is no excuse for us to have evil in that heart. We must overcome it. The Scriptures tell us we must overcome these things. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 7, verses 14 to 23. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man." Those things that come out of our heart, those are the things that defile us. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he has entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, "Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, but it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats?" And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men," we see here again, it's talking about the heart of men, "that what comes out of them, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And all these evil things come from within and defile the man." Those things come from the heart. You know, people can't use excuses to say that, you know, well, I had this situation, or I had this I was raised this way, and all these excuses that man can come up with. No, those things come from within. Those evil things come from within the heart. And when mankind has those things, they do not have an honest heart. They have that evil heart, and they are in danger of losing their soul. Let's turn over to Galatians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. And we'll see here an example of men who are not honest in heart. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. We know today that there are many false doctrines out there. They are teaching things that are contrary to the Word of God. They do not follow after the Scriptures. They follow after the desires of man. Those people are telling their congregation what they want to hear. Those men are not honest in heart. Verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek the place to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." As a minister, we cannot stand up here to please man. We must preach the gospel as we understand it from the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And sometimes it requires us to change, doesn't it? Sometimes we are chastised. But when we are chastised, that helps us to grow stronger. That our heart grows stronger and stronger. That we have a greater desire to serve our Lord. Verse 11. "But if I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after me, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." We know that Jesus Christ must be our rock. And those things that He has told us, that He has commanded us to do, that is what we must do in this life if we're to be honest in heart. If we're to serve Him to the best of our ability. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." We are to love righteousness. We know that, don't we? We know that we are to love righteousness. Sometimes the word hate, you know, we think, well, we're not supposed to hate. And that's true. We're not to hate our fellow man. We have to be careful with that word. Because hate can lead us to destruction, can it? But here it says that we are to hate iniquity. We are to detest it. That's part of having that honest heart. That we love righteousness on one hand, but we hate iniquity. Because what happens if we don't hate iniquity? We can find ourselves right in the middle of it, can't we? It can draw us in and lead us away to destruction. We have to detest those evil things that we see so prevalent in this world today. And they're everywhere, aren't they? It's not hard to find them. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi. Chapter 5, verse 55. A simple little short verse. And blessed are all the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart, the honest in heart, those that have that desire to serve God. You know, that has to be the main focus in our lives, doesn't it? To serve God. We can't let the cares of this life distract us so that we are not serving our Lord. It says here, the pure in heart shall see God. You know, I think that while we're here on this earth, that the pure in heart will be blessed. We know that there are many scriptures that talk about that. We know that this nation is a blessed nation. If people will serve God, they will be blessed. And those that are pure in heart, they will be blessed in this temporal life. But we know that there's a greater blessing, don't we? That greater blessing of spending eternity with our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Jacob, chapter 2, verses 48 to 51. This is on page 173. But behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. Look unto God with firmness of mind, and pray unto Him with exceeding faith, that He will console you in your afflictions, and He will plead your cause and send down justice upon those who seek your destruction. O all ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God, and feast upon His love, for ye may, if your minds are firm forever. We're to pray unto our Lord. And He will bless us. He will bless us mightily. It says He will console you in your affliction. You know, if we're pure in heart, He will be there for us in all our trials and all our troubles. But verse 51, but woe, woe unto you that are not pure in heart, that are filthy this day before God. For except ye shall repent, the land is cursed for your sakes. Opposite sides, aren't they? Good and evil. Those that have pure hearts and those that have filthy hearts. Direct opposite. The pure in heart will be blessed. those that have evil hearts will be cursed. Let's turn over a couple chapters to Jacob, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. And they are a stiff-necked and a gainsaying people, but as many as will not harden their hearts shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I beseech of you in words of soberness that ye would repent and come with full purpose of heart and cleave unto God as he cleaveth unto you. We need to continually repent of our sins, to come to our Lord with a humble heart, that our heart might not be hardened. Because there are no good things that come to people with hard hearts. Verse 9, and while his arm of mercy is extended towards you, in the light of day, harden not your hearts. Yea, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For why will ye die? His arm of mercy is extended to us, isn't it? He is always there for us. He has given us the truth of the gospel. We are a blessed people. But we always need to be aware, lest our hearts be hardened and we be led away. Let's turn over to Helaman, chapter 2, verses 161 through 163. This is on page 565. We see here an example of a people that hardened their hearts. A people that were once righteous. Verse 161. And thus we see that the Nephites did begin to dwindle in unbelief and grow in wickedness and abominations, while the Lamanites began to grow exceedingly in the knowledge of their God. Yea, they did begin to keep his statutes and commandments, and to walk in truth and uprightness before him. So we see that the Nephites were falling away, weren't they? And the Lamanites, they were growing stronger. They were following the commandments. Verse 162, and thus we see that the Spirit of the Lord began to withdraw from the Nephites because of the wickedness and the hardness of their hearts. And thus we see that the Lord began to pour out his Spirit upon the Lamanites because of their easiness and willingness to believe in his word. We know as we read through the Book of Mormon that the people were always on a spiritual roller coaster, weren't they? You know, we know that in the beginning of the book that the Nephites were righteous. And then by the time we get to the end of the book, they have been destroyed, haven't they? Because of the hardness of their hearts. They did not remain honest in heart. They did not continue to serve the Lord like they knew they were supposed to. They fell away and were lost. They were destroyed, weren't they? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 and 17. And this is the story of the rich young ruler. But I'm just going to read the very first of this. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, and these are Christ's words, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. That is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? Keep the commandments. That's what we must do. We must do those things that we know are right. We must follow after these things that our Lord and Savior has given us. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 12, verses 29 to 31. And Jesus answered him, The first of all the commandments is here, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. We're to love the Lord with our whole being, aren't we? Again, it mentions, with all thy heart. It has to come from within inside. It has to be real. It can't be something on the outside that's false or artificial. It has to come from our very core of our being. Verse 31, and the second is like. Namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Summarized, aren't they? We know the scriptures talk about, they break it down into things, other elements. You know, we know in the Mosaic law that there was 10 commandments. Christ gave us 2 here. But we know that if we love the God, our God, and we love our neighbor, that we will follow after all those other commandments, won't we? But that desire to do those things that our God has commanded us to do has to come from within, inside of us. It has to be the desire of our heart. Let's turn over to James, chapter 4, verses 14 to 17. Whereas ye know not What shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, do we? This scripture talks about it as being a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And we know if there's a vapor, you know, you see steam or something coming up off the tea kettle. Doesn't last long, does it? And it's gone. It disappears into the air. And he's comparing our life to that as a vapor. Appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. This is our time to serve our Lord. Verse 15. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, him it is sin. That's talking about us directly, isn't it? To him that knoweth to do good. We know to do good, don't we? We know what we are supposed to do. We've heard those things preached across this pulpit many times of what we are to do in this life. And we will be held to a higher standard, won't we? You know, there's people all over this world that we know the scriptures tell us a man knows good from evil. We know that. But some of those people in the world have not heard the truth, have they? They've been taught all different things. And only God can judge what they know, what they were taught in this life, and what they did with those things. But this scripture is talking directly to us. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a warning to us, isn't it? A very strong warning that if we know what we are supposed to do and we don't do it, that is sin. That is not having that honest heart. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 19, verses 66 and 67. This is on page 450. And it is requisite with the justice of God that men should be judged according to their works. And if their works were good in this life, and the desires of their hearts were good, that they should also at the last day be restored unto that which is good. We will be judged according to our works. We know that our works can't save us. You know, Joel had a two-part sermon here recently that we are saved by grace after all we can do. But some people take that and take it way out of context and say that we don't need any good works because we are saved by grace. But the scriptures don't tell us that. We will be judged according to our works. If their works were good in this life and the desires of their heart were good. We have to have that honest heart, that desire in our heart to do good and to follow after our Lord and Savior. And if we do that, it says that they should also at the last day be restored unto that which is good, which will be eternal life with our Lord and Savior, which is what each one of us wants. That's the goal of each one of us. But this next verse is that warning to us. And if their works are evil, they shall be restored unto him for evil. Therefore, all things shall be restored to their proper order, everything to its natural frame, mortality raised to immortality, corruption to incorruption, raised to endless happiness, to inherit the kingdom of God, or to endless misery, to inherit the kingdom of the devil. We must be honest in heart. Our service to the Lord it must be real. It must come from within inside. It must be the most important thing in our life. We know that our service to God is to come above everything. It's to come above family, above friends, above the cares of this life. It must be the main focus of our life. Let's turn over to Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We are to rejoice in our Lord. We are to love Him. We are to serve Him. We are to pray to Him. We're to honor Him. To thank Him for all of our blessings. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And we know that this, where it says be careful for nothing, that it means that we're not to worry, we're not to be anxious about these cares of this life. Because if we're not careful, they can consume us, can't they? They can totally consume us. And I'm sure that each one of us know people out here, out in the world, that are an example of that, where the cares of life have consumed them. They have no time for God. I would say that where I work, the department I work in, there's probably 65 people in it. I would say that the vast majority of those people, the only time they set foot in a church, there's two times they go to church. What is it? What are they for? Weddings and funerals. I can almost guarantee you that most of them have not been in a church service for 20, 30 years. except for a wedding and a funeral. Have they let the cares of this life take over? They have no interest in religion. Are they honest in heart? They are not. They are not honest in heart. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a promise that is to those that follow after Him and serve Him, that peace of God shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ. That will strengthen our heart. That will strengthen our desire to serve our Lord and Savior. That peace that can only come from Him. It can't come from the world. We know that the pleasures of this world are only temporary. And then they fade away. But that peace which comes from Christ will last for eternity. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. We see in that one verse that there were several of those words mentioned, weren't there, that were in that original definition of honest. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue. We know that these are the things that we need to desire to have in our lives. And if we have these things, which I know that we do, we need to continually endeavor to strengthen them and grow stronger, that we might not have a hard heart, that we might not be led away. I think sometimes we get complacent. And think that this can't happen. That we can't be deceived. That we can't be led away. We need to be aware of that. And watch in our lives always that we will not be led away. Like the Nephites were. Where the whole nation was destroyed. The Nephites were destroyed because of their wickedness. But if we will have that honest heart, where God has sowed that seed, He has given us that Word of God. If we will follow after those things that we know are good and right, our Lord will bless us. He is mindful of us. He knows who we are. And He wants to give us His blessings. And He has promised to give us His blessings. If we are faithful to Him, and if we will follow after Him and live a righteous life all the days of our life. He will reward us with that eternal life, where we will spend eternity with Him that will know no end. I thank you.